Father in heaven, we are so grateful that you give us your word and the opportunity to study it. We're studying it, Lord, in the shadow of monumental events taking place all around the world. Lord, we come to you so thankful for your son, Jesus. Thank you so much for the sacrifice you made in paying the price for our freedom, paying our debt. And Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that applies everything that Jesus won for us at the cross, applies it to our lives. We ask for that. But Lord, we know that spiritual things are spiritually discerned, and we need the Holy Spirit. I pray that it'll be Jesus tonight that will be seen, heard, and felt. Father, we're going to be involved in talking about some very important matters here tonight. We need an extra measure of your Spirit and your mighty angels to put a hedge around us to keep the evil one away, his annoyances. So I just pray, Lord, that tonight all will recognize they're hearing your voice and not the voice of a weak, broken mortal. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight we're looking at a presentation entitled The Repairs of the Breach. We're learning that the outer court and the holy place teach us how to have a relationship with God, how to walk with God. But in the most holy place, we put that relationship in the context of end time prophecy. Now, in our last presentation, we talked about the Ten Commandments. And we learned some very important things regarding the Ten Commandments. Now, before I say a word, I just want to say this. Truth matters. Truth matters. The Bible tells us, thy word is truth. God has preserved his word so that you and I have an opportunity of knowing what is truth. So the way we arrive at truth is not through polls. It's not through consensus. It's not through studying a culture. We learn truth by studying God's word. Does that make sense? And once we have come to that understanding that that's how you find truth, you now have the compass that will point to true north. And now you have an opportunity to arrive at truth. So we're going to be looking at a forgotten truth tonight, forgotten by much of the world. But what we learned in our last presentation in Lesson 9, we looked at the Ark of the Covenant of God, and do you remember what was inside the Ark of the Covenant? It was the Ten Commandments. It was the Ark of the Covenant was a box that housed the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments were inside, but right above it, what was this area called? Does anyone remember? The Mercy Seat, which represented what? Do you remember? Right above it was the Shekinah Glory, represented God's throne. And so right underneath God's throne were the Ten Commandments. And there was a lesson in there for Israel and for us today. And we talked about that, and that is that the Ten Commandments are the foundation of God's government. And so every government has a laws that keep it together and that represents that government. And God's government in heaven is different. We also learned that God wrote the Ten Commandments with his own finger. He didn't let anybody else do that. He did it himself, indicating to us how important those Ten Commandments are to him and to us as well. And we discussed the fact that the Ten Commandments is a transcript of the character of God. In other words, it reveals who God is. God's law, election of himself. Does that make sense? Now, is God changeable? No. The Bible says that I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is the same. And so that is an indicator to us about his law. God's law is unchangeable. It is immutable. It is perfect. God is love, his law is love. And we went through those various categories there of how Scripture describes God. They use the same words to describe his law because it is a reflection of himself. Tonight what we're going to look at is the reality that God's law has been tampered with. Now, we're going to look at where the tampering took place as far as in the law. But then when we get to Lesson 16, we're going to take more of a biblical and historical look just exactly what happened. Does this make sense? The first we want to do tonight is to reestablish a forgotten truth. We're going to be taking a look at God's law, and we entitled the presentation, The Repairs of the Breach, because there's been a breach in God's law, and we're going to see where it took place. Now, what we're going to be looking at tonight, more specifically, is Fourth Commandment. And I am going to ask you to get your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 20, which is where the commandment of God is located. It's written down for us. We're going to read one section of What Would a Box? Exodus chapter 4. If you are there, please say amen. And if you need more time, please say mercy. Okay, we must all be there. So what we're going to do is we're going to pick up in verse 4. We're going to read 4 through 11. And listen carefully because we're going to be referring to it, presentation tonight. Exodus 20, and we're going to look at verse 4. And if you would, why don't you read along with me, although some of you might have a slightly different translation, but I think we'll be okay. And we're picking up, number 8. Exodus 20, and we're picking up at verse 8 through 11. Remember the day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. And so that is the fourth commandment. So let's take a look, a closer look at the commandment. Question number 1. Did God make the Sabbath rest only for the Israelites? You know, you'll often hear people say, the Sabbath is for Jews. That's what you'll say. The Sabbath is for Jews. You will find no Bible text that says that. There isn't one. Instead, this is what the Bible said. Mark 2:27, and he said to them, the Sabbath was made for who? Man. And not man for the Sabbath. That word man, if you look up your Strong's Concordance, it's number 444, and it means mankind. That's what it means. It's mankind. It was made for the human family. That's what it was for. We're going to find out why. Number 2. When did God establish the Sabbath? Genesis 2, verses 1 and 3. A lot of people will say that God gave the Sabbath to Israel at Sinai. Well, that's not exactly accurate. Let's see what the Bible says. Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 and 3 says, Thus the heavens and the earth, all the host of them, were what? Were finished. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work that God had what? Created and made. So here we're seeing that on the seventh day, God sanctified it. He rested. That word rest means Shabbat. It is the Sabbath. And there are several things we have to consider. Yeah. Oh, this is number 10. Oh. So we might want to pause the video just for a moment. We're going to pause the video so we can get number 10. Here, let me collect your 11s. I saw the look on your face, and I was thinking, Here we go. Sheet count, okay. Do we have everyone else's already? All right. Okay. That's okay. That's all right. All right, we're ready to roll. But not yet? You know, it's really interesting. I'm getting calls from all over the place, actually. So people are watching it. Praise the Lord. And if you missed, that's very good. If you missed the last one, or if you missed one, you can watch the video. But okay, so far we brought out the point that the Sabbath was made man. This is very significant, mankind. And now we're going to build on that on question number 2. It says, when did God establish, are we ready? We're good? When did God establish the Sabbath? Genesis 2, 1 and 3 says, thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. Then God blessed which day? The seventh day and sanctified it. That means he set it aside for holy use. Because in it he what? He rested, that's Shabbat, from all the work which he, God, had created and made. Two things here are extremely significant when we look at this verse, these verses. Number one is that the Sabbath was in place before sin entered the picture. Before Adam and Eve sinned, the Sabbath was in place. This is very, very important. Sabbath didn't come after sin entered the picture. It was before. In other words, when it was part of God's perfect creation, the Sabbath was part of it. The second thing that's very important, you know, people that say the Sabbath was made for the Jews, here we're seeing that it was in place before there was a Jew. In fact, 1,000 years before. People don't stop to think what Jew means. I had a dear friend of mine who was a pastor of another denomination, and we were talking. We used to study the Bible together. His name was Jerry. And we were talking about the Sabbath, and Jerry said to me, he said, no, the Sabbath is for Jews. And I said, Jerry, are you sure about that? He said, yeah. And I showed him the text. I said, Adam and Eve kept it. He said, well, yeah. And I said, were they Jews? Yeah. I said, Jerry, if Adam and Eve were Jews and they're the mother and father of our race, what does that make all of us? And then he kind of went, he hadn't thought of that. I don't know if you're aware of this, but Adam and Eve were not Jews. Noah was not a Jew. In fact, Abraham was not a Jew. Does anybody remember where Abraham came from? Of the Chaldees. What was Abraham? A Chaldean. And another name for a Chaldean is Babylonian. Abraham was called out of Babylon. Very interesting. And so Isaac was not a Jew. Jacob was not a Jew. So where do we get Jew from? You remember Jacob had 12 sons. One of them, his name was Judah. And when Israel was divided under the northern and southern kingdom, when Rehoboam was king, you remember his father Solomon had real heavy taxes on the people, and so they approached the new king Rehoboam, asked him to lighten up on the taxes. And Rehoboam says, "If you thought my dad was bad, where'd you go?" And so the northern tribes left and separated. So all 10 left. The only tribes that remained in the south were Judah and Benjamin. Then later we know that the northern tribes, as a result of their apostasy, were taken away by the Assyrians and disappeared from history, which left Judah and Benjamin. But Benjamin was a smaller tribe. Judah actually was the largest, and over time, Judah absorbs Benjamin, and all that's left is Judah. And the remaining people of God are called Jews. Does that make sense? So the Sabbath was not made just for Jews. It was made for mankind, for everyone. By the way, Jerry eventually accepts the Sabbath. Praise the Lord. Really neat. But let's keep going here. Let's take a look at question number 3. By the way, did that make sense? Was that helpful? Number 3. What day of the week is the Sabbath? Genesis 2, 2 and 3 says, and on the what day? The seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all the work which he had done. This is something that's very significant. Whose seventh day was it? It was God's seventh day. Adam and Eve, as Bible students, I'm going to test you. What day was Adam and Eve created on? They were created on the sixth day. Their seventh day. It was God's seventh day. They rested on his day. Does that make sense? And if you look at most calendars, it's over here. Oh. The seventh day is the Sabbath. Now, I do want to share this, that right about 1990s, I started seeing a change in our calendars, and they started putting Sunday as the seventh day. But right on up to about 1970s, as far back as you want to go, the seventh day is the Sabbath. And you can ask any Jew. The Jew knows when's the seventh day. They've been keeping the seventh day Sabbath for thousands of years. But in any case, the calendar, you'll find the seventh day is the Sabbath. Now, I want to you a difference between the Jewish calendar and the Western calendar, which we use today. You know, today our calendars, we have Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, correct? We get our calendar from pagan Rome. It is the Julian calendar. Later there was some adjusted for leap year, and it was called the Gregorian calendar. But what we have is actually a pagan weekly system. And the days are named after gods. For example, how many of you heard the god Thor? Okay, that's Thor's day. Okay? Then Friday, Godfrey, the god Fry, Godfrey. You heard of the name Godfrey? That's the god Fry. That's Friday. And then you have Saturn Day, when they worship celestial systems, Saturn. Then you have Sunday, the worship of the sun. Then you have Moon Day, in which are you with me? And so the calendar that God gave to Israel was, in fact, only two of the days have names. The rest are all numbers, which point back to creation. So now when you start reading in the New Testament and you see them saying numbers, you begin to understand why. For the Hebrew, there was day one, day two, day three, day four, day five. Day six is called Preparation Day, and the seventh day is called Shabbat, rest, the Sabbath. It's very interesting. If you look at the very back of your handout, in approximately 110 different languages and dialects around the world, the seventh day is called Sabbath. And I have a number of examples here. For you, you can go through, there are actually a lot of the ancient languages and late ancient cultures, and you will see that the seventh day is known as the Sabbath. Now, I want to share something with you that's very unusual. If I was to say to you, where do we get the idea of a day? Where do we get this idea? Well, you could be an atheist and still believe in a day. Where do we get of a day? It's the amount of time that takes for the Earth to make one full rotation. That's referred to. That's how you get a day. How do you get a month? It's the amount of time it takes for the moon to get around the Earth. So you have things astronomically that tell you, you know, where we get these things from. Where do we get a year? The amount of time it takes the Earth to go around a week. There is nothing astronomically that points to a week. It all goes back to creation. It's very interesting. You look at all the cultures, I think with the exception of maybe one or two cultures around the world, all of the cultures around the world have a seven-day cycle. And many of them most of them, are not even Christian. And if you ask them where they got their seven-day cycle from, they can't even tell you because the knowledge of it has been lost. But the Bible tells us where it came from. It came from creation week, 7 days. God took to create the day, and he rested on the seventh day. You know, it's really interesting. My mother, when we were, when I was there with you, we were Catholic when we were growing up. I was born in the States. My parents were brought up in Cuba, and most of the Latin American countries, the predominant faith is Catholicism. And when we came to this country, my father was atheist. I shared that with you. And my mother was a devout Catholic, but she just loved the Lord Jesus. And we were living in California on Vine Street, and right across the street was another lady from Cuba, and her name was Vidalina. But Vidalina was a Sabbath keeper. In fact, she was a Seventh-day Adventist. My mother was Catholic, and Vidalina never witnessed to my mom about her faith because she was afraid of losing her friend neither of them knew English, so they were great friends. Well, 1971, we got hit with some big earthquake, and I remember, if you ever feared things living under your bed, well, I woke up as a kid, and my bed was moving around the room. That's just like solidified the thing under your bed for me, but we were just getting hit by this big quake, and well, my mother runs across the street to see her friend Vidalina. My mother had never experienced anything like that. She was all freaked out. And what is that? What's happening? Is it the end of the world? And Vidalina was just calm as a cucumber. And she just said, we know that the Bible tells us the Lord is coming soon. And these are one of the signs. And so my mom got all upset. Wait, my kids haven't grown up. And what that has to do with the Lord's coming, I don't know. And then she runs back to the house, and after a while, she got to thinking, I do want the Lord to come. Why am I upset? Then she thought some more. She said, Vidalina was awfully calm. She knows something, and she's holding out on me. So she crossed the street again and knocked on her door, and Vidalina opened, and she said, you know something, and you're holding out on me. And so Bible studies began. And my mother, very unusual, the woman said, what would you like to study? And my mother said, I want to study God's law. And the woman said, why? She said, because if it's important to him, it ought to be to me. So they began to study, and when they got to the fourth commandment, she hit the brakes. Because see, in English, the seventh day is Saturday, not so in Spanish. Seventh day is Sabado. It's Sabbath. So as she started reading the fourth commandment, she stopped. She said, wait a second. This is saying we're supposed to keep Saturday holy. And another study ensued. What happened? How did we get here? And my mom, for my mother, the most important thing in her life is her relationship with God. She taught that to us. Even though I went away later, I came back to it. But she made a course adjustment immediately upon learning what was important to God. That was precious. She left a wonderful legacy for us. But the Sabbath is really a time about relationship. I want to share something with you that's really amazing. What gives power over sin is our relationship with God. That's what gives us power over sin. Did you know that? There are 10 commandments. How many of them begin with the word remember? Only one. Now, I thought that was interesting. Now, we can all agree and say, well, the world forgot that one. Well, the truth is the world forgot the other 9 too. Let's just be honest. Okay? So then why does God emphasize this one and not put remember over all 10 of them? There is a reason. Because in an effort to keep the other 9, you need to keep this one. Why? Because it's based on a relationship with God. The Sabbath is an appointment with God once a week. Does this make sense? And that's where you get power over the... Very interesting. The next time you're studying your Bible and you read in the Old Testament, when Israel was in a state of apostasy, God kept calling them back to the Sabbath. I used to think that was unusual because it was clear that they were breaking the other nine. But the prophets that God sent kept calling them back to the Sabbath. Why? Because the Sabbath is about a relationship with God. It's an appointment with Him. So on the Sabbath, you know, to spend time in nature. I like to go out with the kids and enjoy God's creation and spend time with Him there. We like to spend time in study or prayer or sharing or visiting. Are you with me? The Sabbath is a special time to commune with God. It's a date, an appointment with God. Now, I don't know how many of you grew up and you had a real close relationship with your dad. I didn't have that. And if my dad had said to me, "I want to spend time with you today," I would have just gone crazy over that. I used to spend special time with my kids. You know, you can never spend enough. But I'd like to, the thing I enjoyed doing was taking them out to eat, and then we'd just spend time talking. But that time is important, and God knows it. And He gives us, in seven, just to devote. Say, don't do anything else. Let's spend it together. Isn't that awesome? Our God is very relational. And He has set aside this time. Let's take a look at number four. How has God demonstrated the importance of His holy Sabbath? Exodus 20, 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it what? Holy. The Lord did what? He blessed the Sabbath day and what? Hallowed it. So He begins with saying, remember. Please take note that it says, remember the Sabbath day. Does it say to make it holy or to keep it holy? Ah, that's very significant. I want to ask a question. How many here are holy? Anybody here holy? Who alone is holy? It's God. So only a holy being can make something holy. I often hear people say, well, as long as you keep one day in seven holy, it's okay. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible doesn't say for me to make a day holy. It says keep it holy. God made it holy because He's holy. My job is to keep what He made holy. That is extremely, extremely significant. I already mentioned the fact that Adam and Eve, when they were created, the next day was the Sabbath. It was only their second day. It wasn't their seventh day. Whose seventh day was it? God's. And He asked us to keep His seventh day holy and not try to make one up of our own. We need to keep His. Number five. Of what two precious things... Uh-oh. Did I skip one? Did it jump back? Oh, there it is. Okay. Of what two precious things does God say the Sabbath is a sign? In Exodus 31:17, God says it is a what? A sign between me and the children of Israel. How long? Forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on what? Seventh day He rested and was refreshed. You see, the Sabbath actually is a memorial of creation. It is a reminder once a week of our origins, where we came from. Had the world never forgotten the Sabbath, there would never have been an atheist. We would have known. We wouldn't have had the theory that we lightning struck a mud puddle and somehow we squirmed out of that. We would have known. Our origins would never have been lost, would not have been forgotten. Let's go to Ezekiel 20, verse 12. Moreover, I gave them my Sabbath to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that what? Sanctifies them. This is very significant, because there's a connection between creation, God's creative power, and God's sanctifying power. You see, in the beginning, God said, let there be. And His word is creative power. So God creates the universe, the stars, everything, okay? And then Adam and Eve, and now the Sabbath, which is a sign of God's creative power, now becomes a sign of His redemptive power and His ability to recreate in us what was lost by the fall. Just as God said, let there be light, and light came out of nothing. It came out of darkness. There was light. He can bring light out of the darkness of our life. just as there was nothing there and God existed, he can call righteousness into existence, into a life that has none. So that actually creation is the proof and evidence that God can transform your life and mine. Isn't that awesome? Forever. Yeah. And if you to open your Bibles to the book of Galatians. Now remember, I shared with you already that Abraham was not a Jew. He was a Chaldean. But Abraham entered into a covenant with God that was based on what? Faith. He believed God. And God said that through him, his descendants would be blessed. Now, let's take a look and see how the Bible defines his descendants, shall we? Galatians, if you're there, chapter 3, take a look at verse 7. Okay, are you there? If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Now, this is Paul, a good Jew, who's writing. Therefore, actually, he was a Benjamite, so the Bible tells us. He was one of the few remaining Benjamites in Judah. Therefore, know that, what's the next word? That's the next word, very good. Therefore, know only those who are of faith are the sons of Abraham. It's not by genetics. It's by faith. Righteousness is by faith. So in other words, literal Israel is what really connects them to Abraham and to God, faith. And that's what makes them spiritual Israel. So take a look at number 8, and this, verse 8. And the scriptures foreseeing that God would justify the nations, how? By faith, preached the gospel to who? So Abraham got the gospel, friends. It wasn't by works. It was by faith. To Abraham saying, in you all the nations will be blessed. So then those who are of what? Faith are blessed with believing Abraham. So the Sabbath is for those who believe. Does that make sense? That's very significant. Extremely, extremely significant. Okay, I'll leave you. Number 5. Okay, let's take a look at number 6. Which day did Jesus keep holy? Now this is very significant. We're supposed to follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in all things. Is that not true? Let's see what he did. Luke 4:16 says, so he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his what? Custom was, he went into the synagogue on what day? Sabbath day, and stood up to read. What is another word for custom? Tradition. Another word. Routine. Very good. Another one. How about habit? Okay, so this was Jesus' routine, his habit. Every Sabbath, he was in church. He wasn't. Did you see that? You know, it's very interesting. I'll often have people come to me and they'll say, why do you go to church on Saturday? And I say, well, because that's the day Jesus went to worship. Why do you go on Sunday? And many look at me and they look puzzled and they said, no one ever asked. No one ever asked. I don't know. And many will study and they'll hear different things. And one of them that they'll hear quite often is because Jesus rose, that's the new Sabbath. The only problem is the Bible doesn't say that. That entered in through tradition. And we're going to find out in lesson 16 exactly how that came in. But let's continue here. Let's take a look at Paul. Now, I want to ask you a question. Is Paul a New Testament or Old Testament character? Okay, so he's a New Testament character. Let's take a look at what Paul's it was. What was Paul's custom regarding the Sabbath? And Acts 18:4 says, and he reasoned in the synagogue how often? Every Sabbath, and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. And by the way, There's a number of texts that talk about how that was Paul's custom. You know, I can rattle off Acts 3:14, Acts 17:2, Acts 18:4, and I can just keep going. You can do your research. But let's look at another one. Number 8. Did the apostles also meet with the Gentiles on the Sabbath? Acts 13:42 says, "And when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that those words might be preached to them the next what?" This is extremely important incident. So what happens here is Paul goes to Antioch into the synagogue to preach, and the Jews reject what he preaches and they leave. And as they all walk out, all that's left are the Gentiles. And the Gentiles walk up to Paul and they say, because there were Gentiles there as well that had accepted, they converted to Judaism. And they walk up to Paul and they say, "Look, we really like what you're saying. Can you come back next Sabbath and continue preaching?" Why is that significant, Pastor? Well, because of this. Had the Sabbath been changed, you know, some people say, well, the reason Paul was there is because that's where the Jews were and they went to church on Saturday and that's why he was there. But if Paul had worshipped any other day and now he was surrounded by Gentiles, there was a perfect opportunity for him to say, "Hey, you guys, the day's been changed." But he didn't do that. He didn't do that. And if you look at the text, if you read on, you'll find out that on that Sabbath, the whole city came out of Gentiles. Antioch was a Gentile city. It was Paul's custom as well. So what happened? Where do I have it? There it is. Maybe I'll start this way. Number 9. Did Jesus intend to have people keep the Sabbath after he died for their sins? So there are those that say that after Jesus died, and where we talked about this, that God changed his law, he changed the Sabbath. And let's see if Jesus agrees with that. Matthew 24:20 says, "And pray that your flight may not be in the winter or on the what? Sabbath." And so Jesus is talking about an incident that would take place in the future in AD 70 when Rome would take Jerusalem. And in fact, the forces of Titus came and destroyed the temple. The Jews had a lot of problems with uprising, and the Romans had a lot of problems trying to contain the Jews, and finally they had enough of it. And so 40 years after this statement that Jesus made, the Romans came and destroyed the city. But Jesus gave counsel to the Christians in this verses, and he told them, "Look, when army's around, you know that the time has come. As soon as you get a break, leave. And then pray that your flight not be in the winter." That's pretty practical, isn't it? Very practical. But the point is that Jesus was expecting his people to be keeping the Sabbath 40 years after his death. That's the point. Does that make sense? If you're with me, please say amen. Now, so where'd the change come? There is a book. If you can find this book, it's an excellent book. It's called From Sabbath to Sunday, The Historical Investigation of the Rise of Sunday Observance in Early Christianity by Samuel Bacciocchi. This seal is the pontifical seal of approval from the Vatican, the seal. And Samuel Bacciocchi, Protestant, that went to school in the pontifical school of Rome. And so this is actually printed in the Pontifical Gregorian University Press, Rome, 1977. And what you're going to find is that in the first century, and in the second century, the Christian, the early church, kept the seventh-day Sabbath. Second century, the Emperor Hadrian conducted awful persecution against the Jews, okay, because of the Jews' continual uprising. And so it was just all-out persecution on the Jews. The problem is, what was the easiest way to identify a Jew? Was the day in which they worshiped. The problem is that the Christians also won the same day, so you can guess what started happening. The Christians were being mistaken for Jews, and they were coming under persecution. So in an effort to separate themselves from being identified as Jews, they began to celebrate Sunday as the day that Jesus rose from the dead, as a celebration of his resurrection, not as a day of worship, not as a Sabbath, that's not how it started, but as a day to say, "Hey, we're so thankful he rose from the dead." What they were trying to do is separate themselves from Jews, because Jews wouldn't do that. because they had rejected Christ. So it was one way in which they could separate themselves from being identified from being Jews. Well, they continued doing this into the 3rd and 4th century. But what began to happen slowly is that the day of worship began to change from Saturday to Sunday. By the 4th century, the Emperor Constantine, he still had the persecution and the tension in his kingdom between Christians and pagans, and he wanted to bring an end of the tension because on the borders of his nation he had enemy armies, and he had to unify his kingdom. And so in a political expedient move, he gets his armies, he marches them through a river, and he says to them, you're now all baptized. They were pagans. They were just a bunch of wet pagans is what they were. And so Constantine was actually, his god that he worshipped was the sun god. And so if you were a worshiper of the sun god, which day do you worship? Sunday. And so what he did, since there was already that mixture taking place within Christianity, it was just move, switch over, and it was an effort to unify his kingdom to protect his kingdom from opposing armies. And so I gave it to you a real quick overview. Bakayoko goes into much more detail explaining the shift over that took place. But let's take a look at number 10. Does the Bible teach that God's end-time people would also keep the seventh-day Sabbath holy? Revelation 12, 7, and the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring. And so here's a description of them, who keep what? The commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. I want you to open your Bibles to James chapter 2. If you're there, say amen. James chapter 2. James, a member of one of the leaders of the early church, wanted us to understand something about God's law. Why don't we pick up in verse 8? James says, if you really fulfill the royal law according to your, you will love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever shall keep the whole law yet stumble in one point is guilty of how much? Of all of it. So in other words, what James is saying is there's no such thing as 90% compliance. Either you're fully yielded and surrendered to God or you're not. You're Lord of all or he is not Lord at all. That's what James is saying. In other words, if he was a physician, he would say there's no such thing as being 90% pregnant. You're either pregnant or you're not pregnant. Are you with me? So what he's saying is you can't keep 9 of the 10 and be considered loyal to God. A friend of mine put it this way one day. He says, on how many points do you have to rebel against God before God calls it rebellion? One. If you have a chain and all the links are very strong except one is broken, is your chain any good? No. There's a link. They're all linked together because all 10 reflect who God is to us. All 10 are the devil knows this, and so he hates those who keep God's commandments. I don't know about you, but I don't want the devil to be happy with me. I want him to hate me. How about you? I know if the devil's mad at me, God's happy with me. Revelation 14:12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep what? The commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Revelation 22. Blessed are those who do his what? Commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. And so here we find in three different texts in the New Testament that the people of God in the last days are going to be keeping all 10 of his commandments. Does that make sense? Jesus also said, if you love me, what? Keep him. That's the evidence of our love for him, our loyalty to him. Let's take a look at number 11. Oops, I didn't show you that last one. I'm sorry. That's in your notes. 11. Will all of the saved keep the Sabbath on the earth made new? Isaiah 66, 22 and 23 says, "For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your descendants and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one what? Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord." So when we get to heaven, this is what this text is talking about, when are we going to worship God? Every Sabbath. That's what the text just told us. And if we're going to be doing it there, does he expect us to be doing it here? Absolutely. Yeah, it hasn't changed. It's exactly the same. Let's take a look at number 12. Okay. Can we be certain that the present seventh day of the week, Saturday, is the same Sabbath day that Jesus kept holy? This is very interesting to me. When I study with people about this, suddenly this question comes up. But, dear friends, yeah, the day that we call Sabbath today is the day that Jesus calls. How do we know? Well, for one, archaeology tells us there's been no change. There has been a change in a calendar, we'll talk about that, but it didn't change the days of the week. And that's what the Gregorian calendar did. It was to catch up on the leap year, and we're going to look at that later. It just got rid of a few days, but it didn't change the days of the week. We're still in rhythm. And if we have any question, all you have to do is look at the Jews of today, and they have been very consistent in their Sabbath keeping. But there is no question, really, in the Christian world on which day Jesus rose from the grave and which day he died. Which day did he die on? Friday. Everybody gets that one. Which day did he rise from? Sunday. But what did he do in between? He rested Sabbath day. You bet. Very, very interesting. I want to show you some very interesting quotes here from the Protestant world. This is from a congregation, and by the way, I could have shown you a whole slew of them, but I'm just going to show you eight. This is a congregationalist, Dr. R.W. Dale, from his book, The Ten Commandments. It says, "It is quite clear that however rigidly or devoted we may spend Sunday, we are not keeping the Sabbath. The Sabbath was founded on a specific divine command. We can plead no such command for the obligation to observe Sunday. There is not a single sentence in the New Testament to suggest that we incur any penalty by violating the supposed sanctity of Sunday." He's a Congregationalist. Anglican or Episcopalian, Isaac Williams. His book, Plain Sermons on the Catechism, Volume 1. He says, "And where are we told in the scriptures that we are to keep the first day at all? We are commanded to keep the seventh, but we are nowhere commanded to keep the first day. The reason we keep the first day of the week instead of the seventh is for the same reason that we observe many other things, not because of the Bible, but because the church has enjoined it." So in other words, the church has commanded it, but she has no biblical authority to have done that. And we'll go into that more in Lesson 16. Timothy Dwight, Theology, his book, explained and defended. He says the Christian Sabbath, Sunday, is not in the Scriptures. It's not by the primitive church called the Sabbath. So he's acknowledging the fact that the early church, the apostolic church, did not go to church on Sunday. They went on the Saturday Sabbath. First Day Observance, that's a book, page 17 and 19, says the first day of the week is commonly called the Sabbath. This is a mistake. The Sabbath of the Bible was the day which just preceding the first day of the week. The first day of the week is never called Sabbath anywhere in the entire Scriptures. It is also an error to talk about the change of the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. There is not in any place in the Bible any intimation of such a change. Then how did it happen? We're going to learn. Lutheran, The Sunday Problem, a study book of the United Lutheran Church, 1923, page 36. "We have gradually the impression of the Jewish Sabbath faded from the mind of the Christian Church, and how completely the newer thought underlying the observance of the first day took possession of the Church. We have seen that the Christians of the first three centuries never confused one with the other, but for a time celebrated both." And we talked about that because of the persecution that was taking place. Dr. Otis Neander, The History of the Christian Religion, 1843. The festival of Sunday, like all other festivals, was always only a human ordinance, and it was far from the intention of the apostles to establish a divine command in this respect. Far from them, and from the early apostolic church, to transfer the laws of Sabbath to Sunday. Dwight L. Moody. Did you know that Moody kept the Sabbath? He rested on the Sabbath. He preached on Sunday, but he rested on the Sabbath. You didn't know that. I read his biography. It's very interesting. He said the Sabbath was binding in Eden. We learned that, didn't we? The Sabbath was binding in Eden, and it has been in force ever since. Fourth commandment begins with the word remember, showing that the Sabbath already existed when God wrote the law on the tables of stone at Sinai. How can men claim that this one commandment has been done away with when they will all admit that the other nine are still binding? Very excellent line of reasoning. Presbyterian T.C. Blake, D.D., The Theology, Theology Condensed, page 474 and 475. The Sabbath is a part of the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, This alone forever settles the question as to the perpetuity of the institution. Until, therefore, it can be shown that the whole moral law has been repealed, the Sabbath will stand. The teaching of Christ comes to the perpetuity of the Sabbath. Very powerful. And so I hope this whets your appetite for Lesson 16. We're going to get into Lesson 16 and unpack this a little more. Number 13. Does God allow anyone to change his holy day? Proverbs 3:30, verses 5 and 6 says, every word of the Lord is what? Pure. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you, and you be found what? A liar. And number 14, when does the Sabbath begin? Genesis 1:5 says, so the what? The evening and the morning were what? The first day. You know, the way we reckon time today, and again, it comes from pagan culture. When does the new day begin for us? Well, more specific, at midnight, 12, the moment you hit 12 o'clock and the second hand ticks over, it's now the next day. Not according to the Bible. According to the Bible, the day begins when the sun sets, So a Jew will explain this to you. The Jew knows this. But Sabbath begins on the day when the sun sets. And Sabbath ends on Saturday when the sun sets. Does that make sense? 24-hour period. The time in between is the Sabbath. That is the calendar or the time of the reckoning of time that God gave to Israel. And it's in the Bible for all of us. It tells us. Notice that the evening comes first. The evening and the morning for the first day. The dark part of the day comes first. As soon as the sun sets, boom, it's a new day. That makes sense? Very interesting. Now when you read in the Bible the resurrection of Jesus, this is going to start making more sense to you as you read through it. Very, very interesting. You'll see when we get there. So what day is the Lord's Day of Revelation 1:10? Exodus 20, verse 10 says, oh, by the way, let me pause right here. In my home, what we like to do is we like to be ready because, you know, the Bible says that the sixth day is the preparation day. So we like to prepare for the Sabbath. I like to have all my preparation done 30 minutes before the sun sets. Does that make sense? I don't like doing what I call the Sabbath shuffle. So we make sure our house is clean. But I like to make sure that my clothes are ready for the next day. Who else said that? You do that? Yeah, because I don't want to, where are my socks? You know, we like to have everything ready. And then I like to have music in the house, spiritual music to start getting our minds in the frame of mind. And then we come together as a family and we have worship. And then at the close of the Sabbath, we come together and have prayer too. So that's what we do in our home. Okay, number 15. What day is the Lord's Day? Revelation 1:10, Exodus 20:10 says, but the seventh day is the what? The Sabbath of the Lord your God. So which day is the Lord's day? It's the Sabbath. Isaiah 58:13, if you turn away your foot from the what? From the Sabbath, from doing your, on what? My holy day. What day is God's holy day? Is the Sabbath. It's a special day. He asks us to keep it holy. And so one of the things he asks us to do is not work on that day. He wants us, our undivided attention. Have you ever talked to someone on the phone and you knew that they were watching TV? That just annoys me to no end. Talking to them and they're like, And you know full well they're not listening to anything you're saying. They're watching something else. And I just tend to say, look, I'll just call you later when you're done watching your program. How's that? You know, and so God wants our undivided attention. And so he says, don't work on that day. You know, let's just spend time together. You know, it's a time to go to church and to worship with everyone together, giving thanks to God for his goodness. It's a time to spend with him. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? The pleasantest day of the week. Yeah. Yeah. And if you look, it's mostly the ancient languages have really caught on to that. The ancient languages kept the whole Sabbath idea. It's very interesting. And then Mark 2:28 says, therefore the Son of Man is also Lord of what? Of the Sabbath. And of course, Jesus came to reveal to us what the law looks like in the life. Did Jesus keep the Sabbath holy? Absolutely. And if you study your Bible over, you will find that there's never, ever a reference of Sunday as being the Lord's Day. Not one. Number 16. What blessing is promised by the Sabbath commandment? Matthew 11:28 says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you. That word is Shabbat. Sabbath, rest. There is a spiritual connotation to that. And again, in Hebrews 4:5, it says, if they shall enter into my what? Is a rest. The Bible becomes a symbol of salvation. Just as Adam and Eve did not work on creation, they rested on God's seventh day in the work he had done. And the same deal is with the salvation. We rest in the work that. So the Sabbath actually becomes a sign of conversion. That's what Paul is doing there in Hebrews. You know, when I shared with you that my background was Catholic. And then my mom, I shared with you her journey. She gave her life to the Lord and kept what the Bible taught. And I shared with you how I was baptized in the Protestant faith, and then I misunderstood some things about baptism, and I ended up walking away and went into the world, and then I shared my journey, how I came back. When I came back, I said to the Lord, Lord, is the seventh day Sabbath or Sunday? In other words, I'm going to follow my mom's religion. I wanted to follow what God wanted me to do. Does that make sense? So I began to study the matter for myself, and as I began to study it, I'm sharing with you the things I began to find. And I didn't want to keep the seventh day holy because all the good football games in college are on Saturday. And so I'm being honest, the struggle ensued inside of me. But then after a while, I got to thinking that Jesus gave up everything to save my life. And so I finally said, okay, if that's what you want me to do, I will do it. I will keep the Sabbath holy for you. And you know, after I started doing it, the Sabbath is a delight. I didn't see it before. What a blessed opportunity to rest in God and to rest from all the craziness of life. God knew we needed this time, especially with him. And I'm so thankful. But what I'm trying to say is I didn't really come to understand what a blessing it was until I made the decision to keep it. That's what I'm saying. And I'm so thankful for that. Let's take a look at a response question here. Because Jesus created the Sabbath for our blessing, and has given it as a sign of his power to create and transform us, would you like to follow in his footsteps and experience the blessing our loving Lord gives his followers that keep it in his honor? You can put your note there. And so when we, in a few weeks, we're going to look at how this change took place. And then the framework that it creates for the final events in Earth's history. Really, really interesting. So with that, looking at our time, a little over, let's close out with prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word and the beautiful things that are in there. Lord, we're learning new things. I remember the day that I was learning. It was such a shattering moment. But Lord, I'm so thankful for the fact that you not only teach it, Lord, you lived it. You came and showed us. And Lord, we want to follow you. We don't want to follow man. We don't want to follow the traditions of others. We want to follow it, thus says the Lord. And Lord, you made it very clear that the Sabbath is actually a sign between us and you, that we are your people and you are our God. And thank you, Lord, for your word that explains these things to us. We pray for the outpouring of your Holy Spirit upon all here, Father, as they each head to home. Grant them traveling mercies. Be with Sloan and I also, Lord, as we go to the airport to get our little girl. Thank you again for the promise that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. Free listening of this message and over 7,000 other presentations by more than 100 speakers on 50 different topics is now available on our American Christian Ministries mobile app for Android and Apple devices, and on our secure website. You may also order presentations online at AmericanChristianMinistries.org or call 800-233-4450. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help to prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.